Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 3:21 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is October 27th. Well, Apple is going to report earnings in about 40 minutes' time, and the share is pulling back from the region of the 200-day moving average over the last 48 hours. I remain wedded to the idea that this is a highly cyclical share, and it's very simple. When you look at their product sales and strip out everything else and just simply look at the iPhone, then you tend to get a very simple answer that sales boom every 3 years because the average lithium-ion battery can be recharged about 1,000 times. And then they start either swelling up or they start deteriorating in terms of how much charge they can hold. And that's usually when people buy a new laptop. It's usually when people buy a new phone. Lots of people bought new phones and laptops in 2021, so they're not going to be buying as many in the next 2 years. Therefore, Apple's shares, or at least Apple sales, are going to disappoint. I think that's very logical, but we'll find out in 40 minutes' time what the outlook looks like. Meanwhile, Amazon has just reported earnings. Amazon Web Services was negative, so that's rather important. Now, when one thing that's changed on Bloomberg is that they're now showing the aftermarket, and the aftermarket is now at $91, so that puts the share breaking below 100. So now we're looking at a really significant breakdown. We have the very well-developed type 3 top formation, massive reaction against the prevailing trend, resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average, not once, but twice. And now breaking down again. This is a very clear downtrend. One of the most important things about Amazon is that they've been making most of their money from Amazon Web Services, but that's not the only supplier of cloud infrastructure any longer. There's a lot of competition. I think it's not unreasonable to describe this as an overbuilt sector. So when we look at Microsoft's results, they said that their cloud was actually one of the sectors that did better. But at whose expense? This is, I think, one of the most important things in the market right now. There's only so much market. When you think about advertising, and I do believe this is important, that historically advertising was concentrated in a small number of companies. And WPP, for example, was one of those where they concentrated their offering in print and television media, and the share peaked in 2017, and it has been wobbling around for most of the last 3 or 4 years. Google came along, and then they siphoned off some of that ad spend. And because the results from the ad spend were so impressive, ad spend blossomed. And then we had a big bull market and lots of free money. And that fueled investment in advertising, in marketing, lots of new marketing ventures, and we've seen the kind of marketing expertise that can drive sales really blossom over the last decade as well in the online marketplace. So Google had it all its own way for a long time. Now, Google invests in lots of other ventures, and some of them will eventually bear fruit. But advertising is starting to roll over. Now, we can think about Meta. Well, first, Meta was able to build a big marketplace, and they saw their advertising revenue improve sequentially over the years. Then, what they've succeeded in doing in the early years was first they had Facebook, then they successfully bought out their next competitor, which was Instagram, bought out their next competitor, which was WhatsApp, and that allowed them to capture successive demographics. Then they failed to anticipate the success of Musical.ly, and TikTok bought Musical.ly and then captured the next youngest demographic. The success of TikTok coincided with the peak in Meta. Now they're engaging in a new venture, which is to circumvent the next lower, the next youngest demographic and go directly to the metaverse, where they're hoping they can recapture the imagination of the entire population. Now, this is an exceptionally high risk bet, and the share is declining precipitously because it hasn't yet borne fruit. And there is a clear risk that it will not bear fruit. But if we stick then and just look at the valuation, well, Meta's valuation is undemanding. They have an estimated PE of 10. So it's still a $260 billion company, no longer in the top 20, but certainly no longer an expensive share either. So if they can stabilize their revenue, then there is potential for the share to at least stop going down. Then the big question is whether they will introduce a dividend. And that would obviously help to stabilize the stock, but they would then basically have to give up on any hope of remaining a high growth company. Personally, I've used the VR headsets, and some of those games are really fun, and you can really build up a big sweat by doing the boxing games, and I really enjoy them. But I get eye strain from using the VR headset, and nothing has happened to meet that particular challenge. You don't get those kinds of challenges from phones, so this is, I think, a really significant issue. Now, again, social media was one of the factors that detracted from revenue, advertising revenue growth on Google, but then Google had YouTube, and YouTube advertising declined this time round. Now, Apple has its new walled garden attitude towards data within the App Store, and they're likely going to use that to develop advertising. But one of the most important things about Amazon is that they started growing their advertising revenue in 2019. And then it exploded in 2020 and 2021. So it went from nothing to a $30 billion business. But when you need to spend 20% of the sales price on advertising your product, then it just gets added on to the price. And then selling on Amazon is now becoming prohibitively expensive. So you're going to see significant divergences between the price of an item on Amazon versus a company's own website. And therefore, people will stop selling on Amazon. And something that we've also seen is that the number of returns on Amazon is exploding on the upside. People buy the product, use it, and return it. And this is a serious problem, which has absolutely gone wild over the last 6 months. So, Amazon has got some really quite significant issues, on top of the fact that the sales growth from the holiday season is unlikely to be anywhere close to what we saw last year. So, economic growth is rolling over. And 10-year yields were down another 10 basis points in here today. Bonds are attractive in a less inflation or a less inflationary environment where growth is ebbing. And that's what we're looking at. The majority of the inflation pressure in the USA has been demand driven. It's been supply driven in Europe, but certainly demand driven in the USA. And it's very obvious that when you look at the kind of demand that we've seen, where inflation has gone wild because suppliers simply were not in a position to keep up with demand. And this is true everywhere. Now, in some instances, supply has, I guess, companies have been trying to keep up with supply. And in other sectors, it's not possible. So, where you can see increases in supply is in manufacturing or in garments, for example. Where there's a limitation on increasing supply is in semiconductors because it takes time to build new factories. And there's a lot of money moving into this sector to build the new factories. Now, the shares are coming down because demand is starting to ebb. A lot of money has already been spent on capital expenditure, and when those factories open up, there is going to be a massive oversupply of chips. So the semiconductors index is still trending downwards in a consistent manner. Then, in just the same way that there's been a lot of competition for ad spend, there's been incredible competition for cloud computing spend. And not every company is going to dominate the total addressable market. But every company seems to think that they're going to be able to do that when they write their marketing material. So they'll say, well, this is a total addressable market of several trillion, and we're only a reasonably sized company, and we're going to come to address it. So we deserve a multiple of several hundred. And that's just not possible when there is so much competition, because we've had huge building of data centers, we've had enormous numbers of consultants and middle market software providers, and then the end consumers are being peddled these things or this solution, and it's not applicable for everyone. And realistically, anyone who was going to go cloud did so in 2020 and 2021. The IPO index is back in the region of the lows from earlier this year and remains under pressure. Well, you'd have to think that a lot of the companies that have listed are the ones that would have been buying cloud in the first place, because it allows them to circumvent building the infrastructure themselves. So they get to go from zero to functioning in a shorter period of time. And then it shortens their time to market, which improves their valuation. So the fact that these companies are now further away from making money because of rising interest rates is problematic. There's a big argument right now in the precious metals sector about physical demand versus the underperformance of the commodity prices. So I've seen data, for example, that silver coins are going for double the price of silver on eBay, that the price is around 19, and per ounce they're selling at around $40, which is a really extraordinary sum. But the other more important point is that in order to make new bars, new coins, then you need to go to a mint, and the mints are custom-built machines. And they prioritize making big bars. And there's been a huge upsurge in demand for physical. So they're not physically capable of making more. And that's increasing the premium. So there is a demand for physical silver and gold and platinum that's outstripping the ability of the mints to keep up with it. But that's not the same thing as institutional demand surging higher. I think more it's a symptom of the supply inelasticity inflation argument that we've had for most of the last 2 years. It's just another sector where supply has not been able to keep up with demand and is creating an illusion of a supply problem, whereas in fact what we've had is a massive jump in demand fueled by huge money printing. Well, then we can think about US GDP. So it was stronger than anticipated in here today. So the dollar rebounded because if the US economy is still expanding and doing better than investors thought, and consumer spending is still holding up better than economists expected, well, then the Federal Reserve is going to continue raising interest rates. So we're still in a very choppy environment. Euro dollar rates got above parity yesterday, and it was looking much more encouraging, and then came down in here today. Now, it would have to follow through on the downside to negate the fact that the sequence of lower rally highs has been broken. But it could, because what happened today was that the ECB raised rates by 75 basis points, and it was not unanimous. So if they're not unanimous, it basically implies that they're not willing to continue to raise rates by 75 basis points. And inflation issues in the US are still problematic. So that's likely to confirm renewed interest in the dollar. So the dollar index is closing today back above the 110 level. And if it follows through on the upside tomorrow, then again, this is going to still be a reasonably consistent uptrend overall. Then the yen had strengthened up really quite impressively over 3 days and did not follow through in here today. The Chinese renminbi, having steadied in a dynamic manner yesterday, did not follow through on the upside. What we are seeing is a little bit of risk off in the Brazilian real. So the real weakened over the last couple of days in advance of the runoff election on Sunday. Continue to think it's going to be a lot narrower margin of victory than the polls suggest. And the Bovespa index is hovering here around the region of the 200-day moving average. If for whatever reason Bolsonaro wins, I anticipate that Brazil is going to break out in really emphatic fashion. But if it's a very narrow election, then I think it would be reasonable to anticipate that Lula is not going to have the kind of mandate that would allow him to really weigh heavily on Petrobras, for example. But we're going to find out this weekend. When we look around the world, liquidity conditions are tightening. And when we think about the performance of the largest cap companies, then this relative performance has been going sideways for 2 years and broke down in an emphatic fashion this week. But it's going to break down even more tomorrow because of this big decline that we've seen in Amazon and potentially Apple. But then we have to also consider Tesla. So Tesla thumbed its nose at California 11 months ago and moved to Texas. And now lawsuits are emerging out of California and accusing it of misrepresenting autonomous self-driving. So the share is pulling back again. But it's hovering here in the region of 200, and that's the region of the 1,000-day moving average. It's the region of the lows from 2021. And this is looking like an awfully big head and shoulders pattern. So if it breaks below $200, then that's not going to be a, or that's going to confirm a clear break of the trend overall. The PE is down now to about 50, and we're not going to have new earnings until January. But One of the big challenges for all of these EV companies is that the price of their vehicles are too expensive and beyond the reach of normal people. So how they're going to be able to generate the kinds of sales necessary to make a dent in demand for internal combustion engines is really beyond my comprehension, especially with the price of the inputs continuing to remain really rather high. Copper prices held on to most of the gain put in yesterday. Lithium prices are still really quite strong. And importantly, oil prices pushed higher in here today, despite the strength of the dollar. We're in a very tight range. We have one higher reaction low put in last week. We have a sequence of lower rally highs over the last 5 months. So there's a narrow band between $90 and $100. A break above or below those levels is going to confirm the, and I should say a sustained break, but will confirm either the bull or bear case. The bull case is really all about, I think, renewed economic activity in China, which would boost demand. The bear case is more about a global recession and inhibiting demand. So supply is less important right now, because it's rather more predictable, whereas the economic outlook is inherently uncertain right now. And oil prices could potentially pop on the upside first and decline later. But if it breaks above $100, I think there will be a swell of activity pushing up into this range. And oil company profits continue to surprise on the upside. So Shell posted its second best profit ever today, and the share rallied in a dynamic manner and looks likely that it will push up through the 2500p level in the not so distant future. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.